Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Oh, hi! If you're looking for another spooky and funny podcast to add to your rotation, check out Anything Bones, now part of the Podmoth Network.
Hey, Boneheads, I'm Sophie Schwartz.
And I'm Caitlin Hart.
And we are the hosts of Anything Bones, the podcast where we talk about bones and bone-related topics.
Soph, what are bone-related topics?
Thank you for asking, Caitlin. This can be anything from mausoleums to murderers, famous skeletons to cadaver dogs.
Bone churches, mummies, serial killers. You'll hear about them all.
And sometimes we have guests stop by and tell us their favorite bony tales.
Check out Anything Bones on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever your little heart desires.
We release new episodes every Saturday.
Bone Voyage!
Are you struggling with a lack of access to captivating entertainment and media? Are you faced with constant judgment and ridicule from friends and family for your inability to respond appropriately to sensitive situations? If this sounds like you, you might be suffering from being emotionally dead inside. But it's not too late to make a change. One Nothing Podcast is a newly available treatment for being dead inside. Taken just once every 2 weeks, One Nothing could make a world of difference. By combining carefully measured dark humor to the amazing original formula of grisly fatalities, One Nothing Podcast has successfully entertained thousands of people suffering from death inside. And with access across all podcast platforms, treatment has never been more readily available. But don't trust my word. Here's some real-world testimonials from a few of our listeners currently undergoing treatment.
From consistent doses of One Nothing Podcast, my posture has greatly improved due to being kept on the edge of my seat.
The One Nothing Podcast comes on, everybody be like, shut the f*** up. I'll be quiet, but when the episode's over, I'll be talking again.
Oh my gosh, buddy, I used to be on so many medications for blood pressure, and then I listened to One Nothing Podcast's episode on Kitty Genovese, moved into an apartment on my own, and haven't needed it since. That one really got my blood pumping.
You know, listening to One Nothing Podcast, I'm not constipated anymore. I'm just full of shit.
So what's stopping you from great entertainment?
One Nothing Podcast is not intended for all audiences. Listeners under 18 years of age should obtain permission from your parent or guardian before downloading. Tell your therapist if you're predisposed to whining, complaining, reading podcasts poorly, being overall combative, or being easily offended, as One Nothing Podcast might not be right for you.
So stop letting great content pass you by. Talk to your therapist today to see if One Nothing Podcast is right for you.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in today and listening to our wonderful, fun podcast. We're super excited because we have some guests on today. We have Ava and Amber from the Murderlust podcast. If you're familiar with them, then you know that they're awesome. If you're not familiar with them, then definitely go and give them a listen when we're done. And of course, follow and rate and subscribe and all that good stuff. So Ava and Amber, how are you guys today?
Great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us. We're super excited.
Thanks for coming.
I'm pretty good. I had a work party last night and I had enough cocktails that making this cocktail today was a little bit nauseating, but I think I'll make it through.
Well, You can pretend to drink it if you don't want to. If it's too traumatizing.
It can be a little rough after a long hangover, but hair of the dog is effective.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. Yep. Get back on that horse.
Yep. You guys on a Sunday tell at 1.
Oh.
Yeah. Sounds about right, actually, now that you mention that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Would you like me to handle this one?
You know what? You go for it. Carry us.
So I, as we were talking before we started, I bring all of the genuine reactions, while Ava spends hours researching, editing, all of those fun things. But we have real audio from the crime in our podcast, which I think differentiates us from a lot of other podcasts. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I think her and I have, can have like a sick sense of humor. And so there's some funny things in there. And we have been friends since college. And so we have that history together where I think like what I found interesting about you two is that it's the mother-son duo, right? And so you have that, you have that comfort with each other. And I think we have that same thing. And so, and we also have a very similar sense of humor, which I think which makes us different.
Helpful.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did I do a good job?
The dark.
No, that was really good. Actually, I was sitting here just amazed, to be honest. That's why I'm like, she's got this. But it was good. We do a lot of solid research, but it is important to keep everything light in life, especially the dark stuff. And I just really believe that. So it's nice to have a partner in this who believes the same thing. And I think our audience does as well. They enjoy it too. So,
yeah, it's hard not to have a little bit of humor to lighten it up a bit when some of the dark stuff, because some of the people that are involved in our stories do some crazy shit. And it's nice to be able to say, wow, that was wacko.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's nice to be honest, right? Like, I think we do that too, because there's so much out there where you can't be yourself just in general in life sometimes, especially putting yourself out there publicly on a podcast, but we refuse not to be ourselves. So again, I told you before we started, our humor might be questionable, but it's real life humor, right? That you would say behind closed doors, or do you, and I stand by it. So I agree.
Yeah,
it's nice to be authentic.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in listening to your podcast, I haven't heard you guys say anything that I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said that. I'm always like, oh yes, 100%. I agree. I agree with them. So I think we have the same sense of humor, all four of us. So
yeah. I mean, we do have morals, so we don't go too far, but I'm just saying, you know, we like to keep it light. So
yeah. Awesome. Well, are you guys ready? I think I'm ready. Declan, are you ready? Okay. So my story that I'm going to be doing today, the major player in this was termed Astronut at one point based on her actions. So when we get into my story, you'll see why they called her Astronut. But Declan, what story have you got for us today?
So without giving too much away, I'm going to be talking about a CIA vampire.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes, yes. It'll make more sense once I get into it, but that's all I can say without giving too much away.
Okay.
And to go with this story, I have The Vampire's Kiss.
Oh.
The ingredients are...
Right.
So the ingredients are 20 milliliters of raspberry liqueur, 25 milliliters of vodka, ice, handful of frozen raspberries, and optionally a red sugar garnish. But I don't typically garnish my drinks on this podcast, so I skip that part. And to top it up, just a little bit of champagne. So shake all ingredients except for the champagne in a shaker with ice, including the raspberries too.
and strain them into a martini glass or anything that holds a liquid and top it up with champagne. You guys ready to try it?
All right, I'm ready to try it. I'm a little scared because it's real dark.
I'm baking it.
Well, I think it's pretty. It's a little strong.
I think
strong,
I put more champagne in than I intended to because all I taste is the champagne.
Yeah, I did watch all the faces. They varied.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't have a fancy glass, but I put actual real fresh raspberries in there, and that was pretty good, actually. But yeah, that vodka hits different when it's, you know, next day after you had a lot of other vodkas
the night before.
I bet.
I don't hate it. On second tasting, I don't hate it. I would drink this again.
Yeah. It could be worse, but it could also be better. So.
That
is
true.
Some acidity in there other than the raspberries, I think. Like,
you need more champers in there.
Oh, yeah. I just put a splash.
Mine's really champagne heavy, and it's got a tartness from the champers. All right. Tell us about this vampire of yours. Yes.
Let's get into the CIA vampires. So the Philippines is about a chain of about 7,000 islands with almost 175 different languages. But one thing is common between the islands, and that's the belief in the Aswang.
The what?
The rest of the world was the Aswang.
The Aswang. Never heard of it. Okay.
Well, neither have but...
It's pretty.
I'm absolutely paying attention, but since you can see me as I'm Googling things here, I'm Googling, I'm looking up. Aswang.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Yes. So the rest of the world was introduced to the Aswang in 1589 when Spanish friar Juan de Plasencia wrote a book called The Customs of the Tagalog, which is one of the languages in the Philippines. This book covered many subjects, but one in particular was the belief of demons and monsters, particularly the Aswang. The Aswang is a vampire-like shape-shifting monster that eats the organs of vulnerable people such as pregnant women and children.
Wow. I feel targeted. Uh-uh.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty gross.
Are you pregnant?
No. I've just been pregnant far too much in my life. I mean, I hung that up a long time ago, but I carried triplets, so I had my share. Yeah. I would have been like a prime candidate for this Aswang, actually, now that I think about it. Three babies. Yeah.
He's been looking for you.
Yeah.
So the Aswang typically sits on roofs and uses his long probe-like tongue to suck the organs out of its victims or give them terrible diseases. Yeah, pretty nasty.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
usually takes the form of pigs, cats, dogs, or like a human-sized vulture-looking thing. Ooh. It's
so
pretty
gross.
While most areas of the Philippines came up with their own explanations to deaths and diseases, some areas are still terrified of this creature. When America entered World War II, Edward Lindsdale joined the army. He was previously in advertising and was actually really good at it. He worked for a bunch of companies like Nestle, Pepsi, Gerber, all those like pretty big companies. When he joined the army, they saw how brilliant he was, and so he was sent to work for the OSS, which preceded the CIA and kind of built the framework for them. Like, they were kind of our spies in World War II and stuff like that. Ed was involved in psychological operations divisions of the OSS and was in charge of creating and distributing propaganda in World War II. During the Cold War, Ed was shipped out to the Philippines to help President Magsaysay defeat the communist rebels, which are called the Hooks in the Philippines. Ed and his CIA team got busy doing a military version of market research. He learned about their traditions and beliefs and created some more advanced psychological operations, including blasting curses from a light aircraft at night. So he'd fly over in a really quiet airplane and like blast weird curses, you could call them, over the speakers like of small villages and stuff.
So
wow.
Do you mean like a curse, like I curse you to hell kind of thing, or a curse like shit, damn, like swear words?
Speaking in tongues and
that's
stuff.
That's a valid
like
question.
Okay.
Yeah, like creepy curses, not swear words.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Hey, I was on the same page, Jane. I was on the same page. Mm-hmm.
So another tactic he had, he called the Eye of God, and he would sneak up to villages that like supported the Communist Party and would draw this weird symbol outside their house that he called the Eye of God. And apparently this was pretty effective because they'd come out and be like, they'd think it's some like voodoo magic type stuff and get super freaked out. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, I don't like that.
Fear-based
I'm saving
tactics.
All these. Yeah.
While these tactics were reportedly successful, they were nothing compared to Ed's fake Aswang. The first use of this tactic was on a camp of Hooks outside the village. The Hooks were threatening the leaders of the village, and when the CIA caught wind of this, they sent some operators to the village to spread the rumor of an Aswang in the area. Eventually, this rumor made it to the camp of Hooks, and everyone got word of it. One night, some operators set up on a trail leading to the Hucks camp. A patrol came by the trail, and the CIA operators quietly snatched the last man in the patrol. They made two punctures in his neck like a vampire. They held him upside down to let the blood drain. Then they put his body back on the trail for the Hooks to find. This actually worked like a charm, and the morning following the attack, the Hook camp left in a hurry.
While
this tactic was only used once or twice in the Cold War, it seemed to be fairly effective in scaring the Hooks away. So it didn't really like win the Cold War or anything, but each time they used it, it was seemed pretty effective, but only in certain areas of the Philippines, because at this point, like a lot of Westerners would come in and be like, oh, a vampire didn't actually eat your wife. She had this disease and died from it. And so they kind of started to ditch that belief in a lot of areas, but in certain areas it was effective. And that is the time the CIA faked a vampire attack.
Oh my gosh.
I like it.
That
I mean, it's a little cruel, but
not what I was expecting at all.
No, but what an interesting tactic though. Seriously. I mean, the psychological warfare, if you think about it, I mean, because it is, it's psychological, right? And it's just super interesting how deep you can go into that with people and our belief system and everything else. So that's pretty cool.
Did they do it more than once, or was it just that one time?
They did it once or twice. The only one that was like fully recorded, and because this guy, the Ed Langsdale guy, gave an interview and he described that exact like time that he did that attack.
That's
interesting.
Super creepy though.
And you know, like that family
with the villagers,
that village, they're like, so we found the victim and they had these puncture marks, and we know for sure vampires are real. And everybody else is looking at them like, you're crazy. They're like, no, I saw it.
I wonder if it had other people questioning, though, too. Like, if it spread, because when something like that happens, people, we're believable, you know, when we talk to each other with emotion. And I'm sure they had a lot of emotion going on. I can only imagine how far that actually continued to spread, really.
You know,
they probably went from one Hook camp to the next one to tell the tale, and everyone's probably on edge about it now. It's probably pretty effective in scaring them away.
I mean, logically, I know vampires aren't real, but it would scare the shit out of me for a minute, or like five, you would be like, I wonder, maybe they are,
exactly. You'd be like, no, they're not real.
if I was camping with my buddies and one of them just disappeared for an hour and showed back up empty of blood, I'd be really freaked out. I wouldn't want to stay there the rest of the night.
No.
No, I'm gone. Out of there. 100%.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be thinking that somebody did it purposefully to freak me out. I'd be like, okay, apparently they're real.
I think someone just killed my buddy. Like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm going to say a little disclaimer about this cocktail and your story, and that you were talking about that they would like liquefy the organs and stuff. Organs. And this drink, my drink is chunky.
Oh, no.
Wow, this just ties in beautifully.
It does.
Declan, this is the second time you've done that, where you told the story and I went, oh my God. The drink mirrors, not just the name, but the look of the drink.
The one about with the Cecil Hotel episode, that was pretty gnarly. Yes. That was pretty gross.
That was the first time that I remember it happening. Oh, man.
I work in surgery, and it actually looks like the containers of blood and fluid that we pull out of people, and then, like, you know, they dispose of them. But
I would think so. I mean, it looks like visual. Congealed. Yeah. There's floaty stuff in mine, and okay.
Oh, I'm a little disturbed.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Sorry. You learn something new every day, you know? So we'll just carry this forward to the next episodes, right?
Yeah.
Next time we have a drink, we'll be making sure that it doesn't look anything like the story that it's linked to. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, are we ready for my astronaut story?
This is actually right up Amber's alley. When you said astronaut, I knew this was going to be hers. So she's probably going to have a lot of valuable input. You know, she's really good at this.
So... otherwise known as Lisa Nowak, she wasn't just the astronaut, but she was born on May 10th, 1963 in Washington, D.C. Her maiden name was Caputo, and her parents were Alfredo and Jane Caputo. She had two younger sisters, and the family of five lived in Rockville, Maryland. When Lisa was 6 years old, the Apollo 11 mission to the moon occurred, and she became very interested in the space program. As she was maturing, she followed the progress of the space shuttle program, especially when NASA started introducing female astronauts. For many years, astronauts had only been white men, but in 1978, NASA started an astronaut group of eight. Or I'm sorry, they started group eight. It wasn't of eight people. It was of 35 people, but it was the number eight in the long list of astronaut groups. So of
they
that 35.
That's not your fault.
Yeah, they just, I mean,
come on.
Name. Don't be boring and just go with the next number in the sequence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, nobody asked me. Of course, this was before I was born. So 35 people were in this group. They included six women and people from minority and ethnic groups. Lisa was excited about this space program as a whole, and she would visit. The National Air and Space Museum frequently. She was a good student with a high GPA. She was well-liked at school, even serving on her student council. She was also competitive, being on the math team as well as field hockey, and then competing in track and field as well. In 1981, she earned the Student Athlete of the Year Award, which was only given to students who also did well in academic classes as well as the athletic achievements. So she was smart and she was athletic and people liked her. She didn't get crazy until later, apparently. When she was a junior in high school, she decided that she wanted to be an astronaut and told her family about her goal. So in the following year, when she was accepted to multiple colleges, she decided that attending the Naval Academy would be the best option for her to make it to space. So she was really thinking, if I go to this college, yeah, I'm going to get an education and I'll graduate and get a degree. But if I go to the Naval Academy, that leads further down the road towards aeronautical stuff and being a pilot potentially and eventually getting into space. So the following year, and she graduated in 1985 from the so she graduated from high school. Wait, scratch that. She graduated in 1985 from the Naval Academy with a Bachelor of Science in Aeronautical Engineering. So she was a smarty pants. I have a hard time saying aeronautical engineering, but whatever. She was commissioned to the Navy as an ensign, which is a junior ranking officer. Her first assignment was to the Johnson Space Center near Houston, Texas. There she worked as an aerospace engineer and was impressed with everyone's dedication and interest in the program. 6 months later, she was sent to flight school at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. Over the next couple of years, she completed training to become a naval flight officer working specifically with electronic warfare equipment, which I couldn't really find specific details of what that was. So I don't, back then, I wouldn't think it was a drone. I mean, it could have been a drone because it was the 1980s. I don't know, but she was working with electronic warfare stuff. So, maybe that she later ended up specializing in robotic arm movement and stuff. So it's possible that maybe that was part of that electronic warfare. I don't really find that it was all that important. Lisa married a fellow Navy Academy classmate named Richard Nowak in April 1988, and the couple eventually had three children. After the marriage, she was stationed in California, where she completed more training and qualified as a mission commander and an electronic warfare lead. Her education continued when she entered the U.S. Naval Postgraduate Program, where she earned a master's degree in she had multiple. One was in aeronautical engineering again, and another in aeronautical and astronautical engineering. She was chosen to participate. What's that?
Oh, wow. I do not want to hang out with her. It just doesn't sound, she probably spent a lot of time studying and.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, can you imagine? Yeah. That's intense.
No. That's way more book work than I ever want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she had a goal. Her goal was to make it to space. So I guess she was figuring all of these degrees would help her get there. And she was chosen to participate in the test pilot school. And over the course of her naval career, she logged in over 1,500 hours of flight time and earned several awards. In June 1995, NASA announced they were looking for a new group of astronauts. So now is her chance. She's like, I'm gonna apply. She's going for it. Her application was one of over 2,400. She was finally selected May of 96 to be a mission specialist and an astronaut in training, and she started in August of that year. She and her family moved to Texas, and she began training for her dream job. I mean, she'd been dreaming about this since she was, 15, 16 years old. Or maybe even younger. I mean, she declared it when she was a junior in high school, but she'd always been interested in it, so...
That's really
I don't know what
because
that would
I mean,
be like.
People can't stick with a diet for a month. So think about sticking with a goal for that long. I mean, it says something about her, mental capacity and everything else to be able to do that, her willpower, dedication. But it sounds like that all went downhill. But anyway, it sounds like she really stuck to it and she did a great job. So impressive. Yeah. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
I'm so the starting salary of an astronaut is $66,000. Can you imagine spending that much money though on school and then just that does not seem like that's ridiculous.
And that was,
I feel like all those jobs where people are putting their lives on the line, I feel like just from things I've seen, are paid out so low. It's crazy to me because that's, I mean, she's going to put her life on the line, right? If she does go up into space, I mean, there's, I don't know the statistical probability of not coming back, but we know you're really putting yourself out there. So it seems like a really low salary for knowingly putting yourself in a situation where you might not come back to your family.
Some of the people that she trained with in her group actually died. Like there was an accident, like two groups before her went on a space thing and they didn't make it back. And so several of the people that she was close friends with died as a result of that. So yes, they do. It does happen. But I wonder, because they're not, I wonder if that salary that you mentioned is for just that mission versus the whole year worth of training. Because they're still assigned.
I don't know. Yeah. It just,
she was assigned to NASA, but she only went on that one mission.
Oh, okay. And so it does say when they go in space, they are paid anywhere from 81 to 105. But I mean, how long?
Still not enough, man.
Well, how many times do you get to go? You know, is that just like
look
a
at
one-time
professional
thing?
Athletes? Right. How much they get paid for a game,
right?
And you're going to give me $80,000 to go up in space? Nah, I think
when I might blow up.
Yeah, but I mean, good to have goals. You know,
experience, though. Like actually getting out into space, that's probably a really cool experience that people would pay money for. So it's, they do.
Oh, yeah, Virgin people Galactic, are paying money for that.
That's true, too.
I think it's like $100,000 you can go up into space with Virgin Galactic.
Yeah. NASA's probably like, you guys owe us money just because we let you on this team.
You know how much this fucking rocket costs?
NASA. Yeah, no, they probably are.
True, but look what happened with those rich people that went on that submarine. Like, you don't come back. Like, I don't know. I don't know that I would get paid to make.
Did you see the pictures of the submarine? I mean, if I would have gone and toured the submarine before I went and gone there, I would have said to myself, you know, this looks like something I put together in my backyard. Right. I'm not sure I'm going to pay this much money to go on it, you know?
Right. I'm pretty sure I've had Lego kits made of better stuff than that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they went down that thing. I mean, I guess a rocket ship's a little more impressive, but that submarine. I mean, it was a good point, though, Amber. It was a really good point. I just think
people will pay or be paid very little to do the craziest things. So,
absolutely. Her astronaut training included a survival course, geology studies, classwork on operating systems for the space shuttle. She also trained for weightlessness and what the sensation of space would feel like. Her astronaut training was finished 2 years later.
A little side note, I've seen the videos of the weightlessness training where they take the big planes and they do ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna check it out later.
Really weird.
Yeah.
They get like the biggest plane they can find and they pitch it upwards and then drop it. Since it drops so fast, you have weightlessness and you can just float around like you're in space.
Oh my gosh. No, I don't know if I would like that feeling. Would you? I mean, wouldn't that be
I think I would try it in general.
Yeah.
I think I would try it.
Try everything once, right?
Until you don't, and then you just slam to the bottom of the plane or something.
Yeah, that would be the wake-up call.
I hope it's padded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope there's a lot of padding inside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, my motion sickness could never, but you guys go ahead.
I get that too, so that might freak me out. I'd probably take some Dramamine before, just to try it.
I'd probably take a lot of things before just to make it fun. But yeah, Dramamine works too.
For sure.
You know?
Yep, all of it. All of it.
Mm-hmm. They've brought some cats on there before, and when the cats experience it, they're just all their legs.
Oh my god! I bet they're just freaking out. Oh, yeah. Poor babies.
Yeah. It's kind of funny though. It's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. But
I'm gonna. Well, we're gonna watch the videos later, just so you know. And Amber and I will probably talk about it. So thank you. Great content. Thank you,
guys. As part of her ongoing it. The drink is getting me lots of, like, I don't know if it's chunking up my throat. I don't like it. As part of her ongoing education, she was sent to Canada in 2004 for cold weather training. One of the fellow astronauts that she went training with was William Opheline, who went by Bill. He and Lisa worked together on a regular basis, so their training in Canada wasn't unusual. However, when they returned to Houston, they began having an affair. I'm guessing they probably started it before, but it was afterwards. And the military does not like people having extramarital affairs, and both of them were married at the time. They could have been charged with conduct unbecoming an officer and gotten in big trouble, but Bill's wife found out about the whole thing after finding some inappropriate emails between Bill and Lisa, and she quickly filed for divorce, kicked him out and everything. He moved into an apartment and Lisa started leaving some personal items there. Supposedly she was visiting him so often that a bunch of the people in the apartment complex reported seeing her on a regular basis. So they kind of knew who she was.
Mm-hmm.
In November of 2004, Lisa was selected to be a mission specialist on an upcoming trip to space. After several delays, she finally achieved her goal of space travel in July of 2006. The mission was completed 12 days later, and the astronauts returned to Earth. Upon returning home, the crew members became minor celebrities to some degree. They attended some publicity events, threw out opening pitches at professional baseball games, and attended the X Games. Lisa also went to schools that she had attended as a child, as well as the Naval Academy, and gave speeches to the students, as well as participating in magazine interviews. So she's getting into this whole, like, I just went to space, and I'm fancy, and people dig me, and, you know, I'm super cool and inspirational and all of the things.
Gross.
That, yeah. You know, she thought she
was. Well, I bet they're, while their salary's pretty low, I bet they make a ton of money doing speaking gigs.
That's like actually another good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, you'd have to make up for it for almost dying in space. And you come back and you're like, really? You gave me $60,000 for that? I could have blown up.
She already sounds like, though, she thrives on attention. Part of the reason she was such an overachiever, part of it probably, there's a little bit of it, is she did enjoy that attention. And so I can see her liking this because she knows she's, if she makes it back, that she's coming back home to, you know, a lot of
it. I'm so fancy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, her personal life wasn't going as well, though. And probably had something to do with the fact that she had a boyfriend and she was married. She and her husband separated in early 2007, but her relationship with Bill was going downhill as well because he had found someone else. He was moving on. She still called him almost daily, but they weren't as close because he found an Air Force captain who lived in Florida. They had worked together when he was sent on a little mission over there. He met this other lady. Her name was Colleen Shipman. That was towards the end of 2006. They started getting along pretty well, and he told Lisa, I kind of want to be exclusive with this other lady. So Colleen Shipman and Bill would meet. They met when he was on an assignment at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. A long-distance relationship grew, and they would travel to see each other on weekends. Talk about long distance. He's in Houston, and she's in Florida. I mean, that's not, you know, a couple hours away.
Yeah, and Bill seems like a very busy man with many lady friends, so who knows what else is going on. Exactly. I mean, he could have hit a couple other places, you know, on the way to Florida, but...
True. I mean, check out Dallas. It's a couple hours away. You don't have to go all the way to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Lisa one of those... Oh, sorry.
Does he? No, go ahead.
Flat top haircuts, you know, like you would see, like the stereotypical astronaut looking haircut. Oh, like,
gross.
Yeah.
Will you text me the picture real quick? I just want to take a look. See.
I have to see everybody. Like, I can't picture this whole thing happening. I had a hairstyle similar to her back in the day. I don't know if you can see it. Oh, yeah, Brooke. That was me, right?
That's you? Yeah.
That's me. And this is her.
Wow, twins. Twinsies.
I know, pretty much.
Scared for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm following the story here.
Yeah, let's hope you don't go down the same rabbit hole that she did.
Wouldn't put it past her. Okay, sorry. No, that wasn't a cut. It was just being real. But go ahead.
It is. Go
ahead. Well, hopefully you don't know all of this details of the story, and then you can be like, oh no, she wouldn't do that. So Lisa learned that Bill was moving on around the time that she separated from her own husband. Bill told her that he was in love with Colleen and he intended to have an exclusive relationship with her. Lisa maintained some level of contact with Bill. They still work together and they belong to the same bicycle club. They continued contact and it upset the new girlfriend, Colleen. She didn't like it. And she asked Bill if Lisa could get her stuff out of his house because she was like, she doesn't need to be having stuff at your house. If you guys are just friends, have her get that shit gone. But Lisa didn't really like that. So Colleen had also asked Bill if she should be worried about whether or not Lisa was going to go cuckoo on her. She wanted to know if she should be worried about Lisa showing up at her door, if Lisa was going to take it well, if things were going to go badly. And he said, no, Lisa's happy for me and she's not going to be any problem. It's totally fine. But we're telling
as women, we know it's not true. Yeah.
He obviously underestimated Lisa. So Lisa's personal life wasn't the only thing troubling her, though, because at the end of January, she also learned that she had been passed over for another mission to space. And being the dedicated astronaut loving person that she was upset by it. The reason given was that she was not a team player. They said, we need somebody who's going to be in it with us and you are not it. And so they found somebody else and that upset her. In the beginning of February 2007, a few weeks after separating from her husband and learning that her boyfriend had moved on, Lisa decided to take matters in her own hands. She had used her key to Bill's apartment and broke into his computer. Which, good things psycho. Never happen when you do that. Just don't.
It feels like the equivalent as a cell phone now, doesn't it? Like women check their dude's cell phones, but it was his computer then. Yeah. Bad idea. Bad idea. Not personal experience, but bad idea.
I don't want to know. Like, if I see something
exactly.
that I didn't need to, what's that going to do for me? Nothing good. So don't go looking. It's fine. On that computer, she found that Colleen was going to travel to Houston soon, and she learned her itinerary, finding out when she would be flying back to Florida. She packed some stuff because she was going on a trip. She packed a bag with black gloves, latex gloves, a BB gun, a black wig, a knife, some pepper spray, a drilling hammer, several feet of rubber tubing, and a trench coat, to name a few things. She then drove her husband's car.
She had
it
all, like, ready
car.
To go, or she had to buy it?
I don't know. Some of it maybe she just had. I don't know. Some of it's kind of basic stuff, but yeah. She drove her husband's car 900 miles from Houston to Orlando, which was about a 14-hour trip.
Wow.
Her intent was to confront Colleen at the airport. So Colleen collected her bag and made her way to her vehicle. However, Colleen's first arrival, she arrived at like 1 a.m. She found out that her bag wasn't there. So she went to baggage claim. They said, your bag is going to be here on the next couple of hours. It'll be here on the next plane. They gave her like a food voucher and she's like, okay, I'm going to stick around and wait for my bag. Colleen is seen in a disguise, stalking her through the airport, watching her from afar, waiting for her to pick up her bag, took the shuttle that Colleen went to get on her, to get her vehicle. So when Colleen got her bag and made her way to the vehicle, she felt like somebody was following her. She heard running footsteps when she approached her vehicle. She quickly got in, locked the doors, felt like she was safe. Within seconds, Lisa was at the driver's side door, pounding on the window and crying. She was asking for help. She was like, yeah. And she's in disguise. I don't know if Colleen knew what she looked like to begin with, but she's wearing a wig and a trench coat and she's, you know, in disguise.
Very normal.
Sure.
Looking. Sure. Trench coats now are just a red flag, you know?
It's, yeah.
Depending.
And it's 3 something in the morning.
Yeah. So, God.
I mean, no thanks. If it were me and I got to the airport and they said, your bag's not here, I'm like, cool, you can just bring it to my house when it gets here because I'm going home.
She don't didn't. They give you vouchers too now? Like they'll give you a voucher to, am I wrong? Amber, you shook your head. Is this?
No. I mean, if they lose your bag, they're just going to bring it to the hotel that you're staying at. Yeah. They're not going to give you any money.
Where did I get that info? For some reason, I thought that was a thing, but.
No, they have to deliver it to you. Like a couple of months ago, we went on a trip to Florida with some friends, came back, and one of the bags was missing. And they were going to have to drive it to his house, which is like 2 hours away from the airport.
Wow. Jeez.
And yeah, it's on them because they didn't put the bag on the right plane. So she could have very easily just gotten her bag delivered to her, but she decided to wait. Either way, Lisa was stalking her in the airport, so she probably would have followed her out to the vehicle anyway. So upset by this crazed woman banging on her window asking for help, Colleen opens the window a couple inches to ask her, you know, what's your problem? What do you need? And Lisa then discharged the pepper spray through the open window into the vehicle. Colleen managed to drive away to the parking lot booth where she called the police. Airport police officers, so it was the normal police officers that were stationed at the airport. They responded within minutes because they're already at the airport. And they found Lisa trying to dispose of a bag into a trash can. She was arrested on charges of attempted kidnapping, battery, attempted vehicle burglary, and battery, and destruction of evidence. Now, this is where the nickname comes from. It was initially reported by law enforcement that Lisa was also wearing maximum absorbency garments known as MAGs, essentially diapers that astronauts wear during shuttle takeoff and landing, as well as excursions outside of the vehicle. So she was wearing diapers. Lisa told officers that she did this so she didn't have to take bathroom breaks.
Oh, she's so gross. Isn't that gross? Oh my gosh.
It stinks.
I know 9-year-olds who refuse to wear them.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
I don't want to do that.
Did you know people do that for New Year's?
Really? Yeah.
For New Year's Eve?
Are you kidding me?
No,
you're
in
joking.
Times Square. No, because it gets so
did you hear this
packed.
From?
It's a fact.
Yeah. Look, who wants to go there?
Apparently, a lot of people because they can't even go to the bathroom, so they literally wear diapers all night long. Because once you get your spot, you can't leave. It's everybody's so packed in there. So you either pee on the ground and on your pants, or you wear diapers.
100%. Do you know this because of personal experience or friends or what was this? Where did this come from?
This was the...
You have a valid source.
I do, actually. Oh, okay. One of my doctors that I worked with went, and he said he would never go again because it was so disgusting. You'll just walk around
here and someone's hearing. That's so
gross. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's good to let everybody know. That was public service announcement.
I know. Right. But I kind of wonder if the astronaut ones are a little bit more absorbent, you know, like maybe there's a market out there for these.
Maybe. No. I mean, they are called maximum absorbency garments. So maybe they're like super diapers.
I wonder how bad it looks, though, under clothes is the question. Can you conceal it?
Oh, you know? Probably not.
We'll let you know next episode when we have you guys on. We're going to look up all these little questions and we'll just hash it out. Mm-hmm.
We'll be like, here's a picture. Here's a demonstration. Mm-hmm. So she later denied that she was wearing the mags, but it might be because there was a lot of media fallout about it. That is what earned her the term astronaut, because everyone was all over the diaper situation. Media was reporting on this, you know, woman who wore a diaper to go confront her ex-boyfriend's lover. So it's unclear if she was actually wearing diapers, but most sources that reported on the situation did comment on her wearing them, even if she denied it later.
I'd want to look hot. Like, I wouldn't want to, like, show up in a trench coat and a diaper. Like,
well, you know, you're getting a mug shot later, you know?
Right.
It's just
better make it good.
Yeah, no kidding.
You only get one shot. If you...
I mean, maybe she thinks because Bill is also, you know, in the NASA program that he, like, digs the diaper look. I don't know.
Honestly? He probably, it probably was okay to him though, for real, right? That's like his normal life. He probably didn't think anything of it. Old Bill.
Right. He's like, whatever, diapers.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wear a diaper for work. Why shouldn't she just wear one to drive across the country? It's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see it working out for them. Honestly, I could. Ugh.
Oh. So Colleen applied for a restraining order, claiming that Lisa was an acquaintance of her boyfriend and that Lisa had been stalking her for months. But she later dropped that request a couple of weeks later. 2 days after the attack, Lisa was arraigned on the initial charges and granted a bail of $15,500. But before she was released, the prosecution increased the charges to attempted murder. The new charge caused her bail to increase, but only by $10,000. And she was soon let out on bail, but required to wear a GPS tracker. A month after the incident, Lisa's assignment to NASA as a naval officer was terminated. Shocking. NASA's
If they frown on affairs.
Right. Yeah. Yes. She was formally charged. Yeah. She was, so the attempted murder charge was dropped. She was formally charged with attempted kidnapping, attempted burglary, and battery. In late August, she made it known that she intended to file an insanity defense. And
surprise.
Yeah. Documentation from her legal team showed that she had been diagnosed with several conditions, including obsessive compulsive disorder, one episode of major depressive disorder, Asperger syndrome, and a brief psychotic disorder with marked stressors. I would say.
Isn't that everybody's life?
Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm going to put a diaper on and go threaten somebody 900 miles away and pepper spray them in their car. Oh my gosh.
Just that thought process. What do you do after you pepper spray her? It's just not going to make her get out.
Well,
it's pretty dumb.
She had a loaded BB gun, so she could have shot her eye out.
Not going to make me get out either.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you guys ever been pepper sprayed?
I can't imagine.
I have incidentally.
Keep your eyes open.
I have incidentally been pepper sprayed because I had a job where we carried pepper spray and we had to be sprayed downwind of it so we would know what the effect was like. And I don't want to have experienced it full force in a contained environment. No, thank you.
Ironically, I just watched three people get pepper sprayed at my job last week. You see what the people are really like. Like, you see their true colors after they get pepper sprayed. I mean, it's actually quite interesting, but it is harsh because they also have to get tasered. We do a lot of great fun stuff at my work. And a lot of them say they would rather be pepper sprayed than tasered, which, I mean, being tasered is not fun either, right? But the pepper spray is rough, even if it's not right in the eyes. Like you said, she squirted it or sprayed it in the van through an open window. Right. I mean, I'm surprised Colleen was able to even drive, honestly, with that in the air, because it's pretty rough,
right?
Depending.
Well,
and that used to be the, I'm sorry, there's two different kinds of pepper spray. That pepper spray back then was much worse than the stuff they use now. They took that off the market a long time ago because of how detrimental it was to people. So that was probably the, what she got sprayed with. Yeah. We can cut all that out. I just saw a bunch of people get sprayed and I was like, yeah. It's interesting.
There's some discussion about whether or not there was an actual pepper spray event that occurred, because during like the whole court proceeding process, her attorneys interviewed Colleen in a second deposition, and it was determined that Lisa might not have actually pepper sprayed her. So her ability to drive afterwards, definitely, when I first read that, I was like, how did she drive if she was pepper sprayed? So maybe she wasn't pepper sprayed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the intent was there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for Colleen to say that she was pepper sprayed, how would she have known that Lisa had pepper spray if she hadn't been pepper sprayed?
Yeah.
Or maybe maybe Lisa brought it up to the window and Colleen was like, nope, we're not doing this, and got out of there before it actually like hit her full force. I don't know. Lisa changed her mind.
Yeah. Because it seems like normal people, honestly, a lot of people don't even know what pepper spray looks like. Yeah. We know it's in a little canister or whatever. So for her to put two and two together by just seeing a little can would be surprising, unless she has experience in law enforcement or in a field where they would use that. So,
or maybe she had her own can.
Perhaps, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's a good point, too. She could have.
Yeah.
Taken that thing right out.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right. You pepper spray me, I'm going to pepper spray you. We're good. We're even.
Yeah. Just back and forth. Would have been great.
So Lisa ended up pleading guilty to felony burglary and misdemeanor battery. She was sentenced to probation with jail time already served, so she didn't have to go to jail or anything. That occurred in November of 2009. 2 years later, she petitioned the court to seal the records of the criminal charges, and it was granted. She basically said all of the stuff that's out there and public information is too hard on me and my family, and it's embarrassing. So the court said, all right, we'll seal the records. But I mean, by that time.
Wow.
Every media outlet was like, hey, you were wearing diapers.
So, yeah.
Seal the criminal record or not, you still have every news outlet reporting on it. So in August 2010, the Naval Board of Inquiry recommended that Lisa be removed from the Navy and a reduction in her rank. The recommendation was upheld, and 2 weeks later, she retired from the Navy with an other than honorable discharge, and they reduced her rank from captain to commander. So she was done. And that is my story about the astronaut.
I'm actually surprised that like the highlight of the story, like who knows what her intentions were, but the highlight is she was wearing a diaper. Like this is the news story.
Yeah.
They really made a great name though. Astronaut. I mean, whoever termed that when this happened deserves some kudos. So,
100%.
Well done.
Yeah.
The diaper alone should have been enough to plead insanity.
Yeah. Right. No kidding. For.
She actually decided not to pursue the insanity defense, and she just pleaded guilty and was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've kind of talked about this on our podcast before, but the insanity defense is so hard to get. So hard. Yeah. We hear about it all the time because it's such, a lot of those cases are in the news. They're front and center. They're the worst of the worst. And everybody always talks about the insanity defense, but gosh, I can't even remember the statistic. It was like less than 1% actually successfully uses that.
I think you have to have a history of mental illness in the past and a clear break from when you, like, because they use paranoid schizophrenia as the guideline for insanity charges, but it's really hard to prove a break in someone's life that caused them to become quote unquote insane.
It is, yeah. Right.
Unless you're in Canada. Canada. We covered a case in Canada where it was like super easy.
Yeah.
Remember that guy got out? And then we covered one in the US where he clearly was struggling with his mental health. And then they just kept trying to rehabilitate him. And then eventually like got to the point where they said, oh no, he understands the charges, and then charged him like an adult. It still haunts me, this poor kid.
I mean,
he did kill his mom, but poor kid, you know?
Yeah. Well, now I'm a big, there's a difference between a child's brain and an adult's brain. Let's be honest here. So we won't get into that. We could just go down a real big rabbit hole right now.
Yeah.
But it's hard not to have sympathy for everybody involved in these cases, because for someone to get to that breaking point where they're wearing a diaper or killing someone, they mentally are struggling themselves somehow. Right. So it's like, it's hard not to have sympathy for everyone. I do feel sympathy even for that kid, because life is hard, you know? So it's a struggle. Sure.
Well,
I've never heard that case. With our stories. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, yeah, that
was great. Both of them were great.
Shall we do chaser time?
Sure.
Are we ready with the chaser? Declan, do you have a chaser?
Yes, my chaser is a watch recommendation for the movie Disturbia. Mm-hmm. It's got Shia LaBeouf in it, and he's put on house arrest. And he gets so bored that he starts spying on his neighbor and catches one of them committing a crime. It's a lot like the Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Rear window
or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot like that, but it was made in 2007, so it's a little bit newer.
Chances are I've seen it and I don't remember it, like every movie that I watch.
Me too. I'm with you. I'm in the same boat, so I'll probably rewatch it, but really watch it for the first time. Thank you.
There's been so many times where we do family movie night every weekend, and I'm like, ooh, let's watch this. And then we're halfway through it. And I'm like, have we seen this? And my husband's like, yeah, we saw it. Like, yeah, I know exactly what happened. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't. So we're going to watch it again.
You know what's funny, though, is you probably understand this, too, as a woman, that men somehow, they can't remember easy things like, where did I put my belt, or where are my pants from the other day? But they can remember every single line from any movie they've ever seen in their life. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, too, you and I.
My coworker is exactly like that. He'll just pull random books out. And I'm like, how do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, movie from the 70s. I'm like, how do you remember that exactly?
Oh, I listen to it all the time, and it doesn't skip generations either. It's my dad, it's my husband, it's my kids. I'm like, they're reenacting scenes from all these movies. I'm just, all right, I am done. So sky thing.
Ava, do you have a chaser?
I don't really. Okay. Unless Amber, can you give me an idea?
No, I guess I was prepared to talk about Suits. Like, I didn't watch it when it was popular back in the day, even though I probably could have, but I've been rewatching it on Netflix, And I am obsessed. Like, oh, it is so good. Yeah. And then last night when I was at my party, I saw this girl who looks like Meghan Markle. Like,
really?
Just like her. Yeah. She
Did
was
you
gorgeous.
Snap a pic?
No. That'd be weird. She was working
what do you
there.
Always do that?
You're like covertly. You have to do it covertly.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I'm scrolling through my picture.
Yes. And Amber knows she's supposed to do this.
I should have. But it's good.
I so watched that show. Yeah. I can't remember what season I stopped watching it, but I got tired of it because I realized that it was the same. Like, it felt like it was the same script, just with a few of the names changed. And I was like, it's the same. Like, he's almost caught, but then he's not caught. And he's scared that he might get caught. And then he's not caught. And I, after like 300 of those, I was like, no, I can't like anymore. So I don't even know what happened after a few seasons.
Well, you didn't miss much. I think so. You know who Jessica is, the head attorney, and I'm in a leadership position. So I really respect her cutthroat tactics.
Oh yeah.
I love it. Oh, don't even, Ava. If you watched it, you would just know exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, I'm not a big TV watcher. I love sci-fi. That's my thing. I love sci-fi movies. And football. And football is now completed. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. Go Lions. That is my chaser. So
other than that. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, hey.
Your chaser is that one, maybe, right? Maybe they'll get there next year.
Yeah, you know, awesome. I didn't even think they'd make it this far. And when I was a girl, I used to, because I've watched it since I was growing up with my dad. And I have always told myself that if they ever made it to the Super Bowl, I'm going no matter what. So to be honest, I really had my fingers crossed this year they wouldn't make it because I'm in no financial situation to go. And it really dawned on me. I was like, you know, this dream is not going to go well if they make it to the Super Bowl. So it's good. So maybe like 5-10 years, right? Yeah. Financially.
But start saving now because it's getting really expensive from what I've heard.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my chaser... my chaser is not T Swift. My chaser is that I found at my grocery store that they have baby bottles of champagne. So when we were making this drink, I didn't have to buy a full bottle of champagne. I just bought a little tiny one because it always goes to waste. And I try and figure out what the hell am I going to do with 3/4 of a bottle of champagne. And I didn't have to worry about it this time because it was just a little tiny one. It was like a little sample bottle. So I was excited about that. And the store has Prosecco. So now I have no excuses for not having regular Aperol spritzes because I can just go get the little baby bottles and not have to drink an entire bottle of Prosecco by myself.
Well, shoot. I mean, a win too. But yeah, no, that's great, actually.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you guys again for joining us. Can you tell everybody where to find you and all of those good things?
Yes, we are on all major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We have an Instagram. We have a couple videos on TikTok, but and a Facebook as well. So.
Nice.
And we are also going to CrimeCon coming up in Nashville, Tennessee.
Are you?
So we will be there. That's if anybody wants to grab a drink, come hit us up. Yeah. So it should be fun. May 30th through June 2nd is when we'll be there.
Wow.
That's awesome. Are you going to have a booth or are you just going to be there socializing and all that good stuff?
Both. But we are going to have a booth. So looking forward to meet a lot of people. And we will definitely enjoy socializing out in the town. Try and reel it in a little bit because we have to be good for each day while we're there. But yeah,
right.
Give us some recipes. We can try them all out while they're there and we'll let you know.
Cool. Awesome. Well, it was great having you guys on and we appreciate your fun little input and can't wait to be on your guys' show sometime.
Yes, very Thanks. Soon. We're looking forward to it. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us on. It was a lot of fun, honestly.
Yeah.
Of course.
Agree. And thanks for this drink today.
Yeah. It's gross looking.
Yeah. Until you wrap it up, just hang out in the room for a second.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.